All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Monday, August 22nd. I am Doug Norrie, rocking a solo pod today, talking some Major League Baseball. We are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to help you build lineups for DraftKings and FanDuel, MLB, NFL coming really soon. You head over to the site, take a look at our free picks articles going up each day, and then you can grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system, powered by our good friends at Lineup Lab. It's going to help you one-click calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Like I said, MLB is up there in full force now. NFL, actually, big news over the weekend was we released our NFL, our brand new 2016 NFL product, which includes, if you're a longtime user of our stuff, we still have our optimal lineups up there with projections. But the big value add that we've added this year is we added a brand new player lab, which allows for filtering and different kind of queries based on, you know, over-unders and spreads and, you know, defense versus position and really, you know, target trends, carry trends, really just about everything you need in NFL to lock in value and to kind of play around with, mess around with some different filters, build lineups that way. We're really, really excited about it. It just was released on Saturday, so we are in the final little testing stages with our users right now, and just really pumped about what it's going to offer for NFL. So you can head over to the site, and that is part of the MLB subscription. So if you sign up for MLB, you're also getting the NFL tools as well. We really put it all. We don't have separate sports subscriptions like some sites. We put it all under one blanket. If you're a DFSR user, you get everything we offer, no questions asked. Like I said, that's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Check it out. We'll also be putting up our first NFL podcast tomorrow. That's going to be on a different channel, so I'll link to that channel in our MLB podcast notes so that you're able to subscribe to both our MLB and our NFL podcast. Really, really exciting time of year in late August into September. I know some people are headed back to school. People maybe on vacation, thinking about getting back to work. But really, this is such a great time of year. We have the end. You know, we're still firing strong on baseball, but we're also staring down the barrel at an NFL season that is, you know, hey, it's NFL. This is why most people came to DFS, and this is where most people's bread is buttered. And I'm really, really excited about what we have to offer. All right, so this is Monday. Not too many games today. I think 8 total games. Really short slate coming in for this Monday. You ease yourself back into the week for baseball. Really nice weekend for DFSR for our optimal lineups. The one big guy yesterday, he was sort of chalky, but we had Justin Upton in every lineup, and he was a guy that we looked at. James Davis is the other co-founder of DFSR. We had actually a conversation about him yesterday because we were like, well, you know, Justin Upton showing up in every lineup, he has been absolutely terrible. What do we do here? And it was one of those situations where we were going to significant, because he stood the our long-term projections on him stood to have some regression in terms of just overall season stats. Not tons and tons, but he was so cheap hitting middle of the order for the Tigers that we just said, you know what, we'd have to downgrade his projection something like 15% to not have him in optimal lineups. And that just doesn't seem like good process to me, right? To somewhat arbitrarily take a player down by that many points based on just sort of what his season stats look like didn't make sense. Anyway, we leave. He stays in there. Projection stays the same. He has 2 home runs. And it's one of those things where we have a chat room up on the site, and the chatters jump in there and say, hey, great call. I mean, we also... The flip side of the great call is, what are you donkeys doing? Why is so-and-so in the lineups over and over again? The thing about it is, and we talked about this yesterday off-air and just sort of as a DFSR, you know, meeting we meet at the end of each week to sort of sum up where we're going, where we were and where we're going. And we were talking about how it's not a call. Like, we don't... projection systems, and anyone that runs projection systems will tell you that we're not making calls on players. It's basically math, right? It's looking at what a player is projected to do long term, the situation he's in that day, all the, you know, contextual factors that go into making a projection, and then where he comes out as in terms of points per dollar and his salary versus expected points. So it's not like we just sit and say, these are our calls for the day. No, projection systems don't work that way. They take all the factors in and, you know, the numbers take a stand because one number is higher than another number. That's the stand that's taken. So I always get a little bit, I'm not willing to go all the way low if a player get low, like sad wise, if a player doesn't play well in terms of the projection system. For the same reason, I'm not really able to say, you know, do this huge pat on the back and say, oh, our system called Justin Upton's two home runs. Well, that's not true. No system's ever going to call two home runs. Anyone that is predicting two home run days from a player and claiming that they know how to do that is simply lying. There's no other way around it. That person's a liar. You can't do that in baseball. You might be right more often than you're wrong. Excuse me. You might be right at a higher percentage than what is, you know, what a dartboard could tell you. But someone that says they predict two home run days is lying. What it does tell you is this guy is a somewhat of a value today, based on his price and his opportunity, and that's really it. So I know that's a long-winded opening about Justin Upton, but I just like to caution people about getting too crazy on either end of how, you know, oh, great call or terrible call. No, that's not how projection systems work. They're looking at everything. They're making weighted mean projections based on context and moving on from there. Anyway, that's my little opening, my 6-minute opening about Justin Upton day yesterday. Anyway, great day for the DFSR. FanDuel and DraftKings crushed it across the board, and we are ready to roll into a Monday of baseball. So let's start with pitching. There are a couple interesting pitchers going today, starting with John Lester against the Padres. So the Padres, you know, we've talked a little bit about them recently, how they're just somewhat of a different team at this point. I say different. I can't necessarily say better. You know, they jettisoned Kemp, who clearly is better against lefty pitching, so that probably hurts them from that platoon split. We saw the other night, lefty Robbie Ray goes in there and basically just dominates them, went something like 8 innings, I don't know, 12 Ks, somewhere in that range. They hit Alexi Amarista lead off, and that's a disaster if you're hitting that guy lead off. And they really just don't get that much better from the right side of the plate as you head down the lineup. Obviously, they have Myers in there, but after that, I mean, they're hitting Christian Bethencourt in the cleanup spot. I mean, that's about as bad of a cleanup hitter as you can get in baseball at this point. So the Padres just aren't a squad that you, and this is still the Padres, right? Like, teams can get better or worse over the course of a season, but it's unlikely a team gets dramatically better or worse over the course of a season. And that's the case with the Padres right now. Lester comes in as by far the biggest money line guy in the day. He starts at minus 210, goes up to minus 223. The run line is around 8, but most of that's coming in on the Cubs side. So you're getting. I can't imagine he's not the chalk cash game pitcher today on actually both sites. He doesn't break the bank for you on either site, really. 11K on FanDuel is a little steep, but it's probably worth it at this point with the matchup and the other factors going in there. Great ballpark for him in Petco, which obviously suppresses power in a big way. This is just, I can't imagine. I don't think he's not going to be a 90% start, something like that, but I can see on FanDuel him in that 60 to 70% range, just because all the factors that you need to really line up good, sit quote-unquote safe pitching on a given day is really there for Lester. His peripherals are fine, about a strikeout an inning. The walks are ticked up a little bit from last year, though, down for his career. For his career, he's about a 3-walk guy, though some of that 3-walk per nine, some of that's left over from early in his career when he struggled a little bit with control. He's been much better in the last couple years and keeping the ball around the plate. He's just a fine pitcher. He's not as good as the 2.86 ERA would suggest. His xFIP is more in that 3.5 range. But I'm still totally fine with Lester. This isn't some big news for him to be to sort of lead the picks today. It's the Padres. It's Petco. He's on a great team. Really, all the things you look for in a safe cash game pitcher. That's Lester fits the mold there. After him, it's actually not as clear for me after him. There's a couple guys that I like. The system, well, so one guy our system really likes is David Price today. Price has been a hard guy to figure out this year. He makes the move into Fenway. And he's struggled in a couple different key areas. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but he struggled with home run to fly ball ratio, which makes sense. For a lefty moving in to Fenway Park is going to hurt you in that respect because balls up and creep over the monster. So turning some somewhat lazy fly balls into home runs, that's going to be more of a problem for lefties than it is for anybody else. He struggled a little bit with BABIP as opposed to his career numbers. Again, that could be Green Monster related also, right? Balls that should be, you know, fly ball outs, or, you know, even just the left fielder isn't able to range back far enough to grab it. Those turn into hits off the monster. So seeing those upticks in his numbers don't necessarily strike me as bad luck. That being said, he doesn't have to pitch in Fenway today. He's headed to Tropicana, where he's going to face the Rays. This ballpark is fantastic for pitchers. It really knocks down power. It might be the best pitcher's park in all of baseball. So I really, really like Price today. The Rays lineup have a couple guys that can give you fits, you know, at the top of the lineup with Forsyth and Longoria, who hit lefties really well. But as a whole, the Rays team just isn't very good on the offensive side. I mean, some of that's park related, but also, I mean, this is not a prolific offense. So Price, I think you're getting him at a slight discount considering his ERA and some other numbers this season just don't line up with what you would think from an ace. Because, like, for a lot of the reasons I mentioned before, but, you know, the ERA is 4.19, which doesn't jump off the page at you. But the xFIP is about, you know, three quarters of a run lower. Now, again, the xFIP is sort of BABIP and home run to fly ball ratio related. So we can't, the truth probably is somewhere in between. I like the price on him today. I don't think I would play. I wouldn't play him over Lester, though you get him for $1,000 cheaper on FanDuel, which makes it a little bit closer. On DraftKings, I'm probably still rolling Lester in this price point just because, you know, I mean, well, Lester's 12.5. This is where the price is going to start to matter. Price for price. Yeah, I get what I just did there. But get the savings you get on him as compared to Lester does make the decision for me a little bit closer, and it definitely makes it for the systems. It's kind of drawing them out as somewhat equals when the salary is taken into account. Price is a -150 favorite right now. Really low run line at 7.5 implied runs. I have the Rays a little less than 3.4. So, and this is this will be something that I kind of hem and haw about as the day goes on. I think it's going to end up being close. It's going to depend a little bit where the bats come in. I really like Price. He's off people's radars because people are going to look at that ERA and think that there's something wrong with him. I don't necessarily see those things. We've talked a lot about him this year. So he's in there for me too, in terms of just another pitcher that you can look at if you want to pivot off of Lester. After those two guys, the other, you know, upper tier arms that are going, Carlos Carrasco, Steven Strasburg, I'm not that excited about either of these guys today. Carrasco gets an A's team that doesn't really strike out too much. There's not a lot of upside for Carrasco in this matchup. The price, there's no chance I would play, let's say, him at the same price point over David Price, so I'm not really worried there. And then you get Strasburg facing, it's so funny. I was looking at early lines this morning, and the Baltimore Washington line was so high that I thought actually they had maybe skipped over Strasburg's start today. Because it starts, the over under starts at 9 with the Nationals at only a slight favorite. That puts the Orioles right around the 4.5 implied run range. I can't think of a time where Strasburg has had this many implied runs going up against them. And I'm actually even referencing, I know he pitched in Coors early in the year. I'd have to look back at our data set, but I don't even think the Rockies implied run line was this high going into for Strasburg going into Coors. So that's just struck me as a little bit high. I get it. I get it to some degree. The Orioles are a decent offense. The ballpark is still good for hitters. But Strasburg's is good. So that line threw me off a little bit. Even if the line was way lower than this, I don't think I'd be considering Strasburg anyway. I just thought that just struck me as a little hinky, considering the pedigree that's on the mound for the Nationals. Either way, I'm not paying up for him in this matchup. You know, moving into an American League ballpark, doesn't get the buzz through the pitcher. Just really nothing can get you too excited about Strasburg here. And when we're talking about, now, you know, we mentioned Lester and Price as two of the top tier guys, but on DraftKings, we're going to need to obviously roster two pitchers. It'd be very difficult, and I'm not even sure it'd be correct to roster both of those guys together. That costs you a lot of salary cap to do it. It'd be 24K total for Lester and Price, or no, excuse me, 33.5 total to get those guys both in on DraftKings. I don't think you need to do that unless a bunch of cheap bats came in, and even then, I'm not totally sure. So who to look at in the lower tier. There's a couple guys here that I think you can take a look at, though. They have varying levels of, I don't know, feel good, whatever the word you want it to be, is. The first guy's Pineda. Pineda is another one of these guys, sort of like David Price, in the sense that his underlying his peripherals don't necessarily line up with the overall output for this year. His xFIP is 4.89, His ERA is 4.89, but his xFIP is 3.4. That's a more than a run and a half difference. Now, even if neither one of those numbers is correct, right? And Pineda runs into the same sort of problems that Price does. He's a righty pitcher that has to pitch in Yankee Stadium, and he's just letting up a lot of home runs. His home run to fly ball ratio this year is the highest it's ever been in his career. I mean, could that be somewhat of bad luck? Yes, but this is a park that will just happen to you, because in Yankee Stadium, those balls creep over the right field fence. He moves to Seattle today. The problem with him, obviously, is Seattle is a good offensive team. And I know you're only paying $7,700 for him on DraftKings, but he has the best probably stuff in that price range, considering, you know, he strikes out. He got his elite K numbers, more than 10 per nine this year, walking around 2.5, which is a little higher than his career numbers. The big thing for him, though, is a park upgrade. Moving out of Yankee Stadium, moving over to Safeco, that's a big, big downgrade in what the opposing team's expected power will be. Now, he has to face Cano in the middle lineup, Seager in the middle of the lineup. They're going to put Smith and Aoki near the top. That's a lot of lefties for him to go through. He'll get Cruz in the middle, but the Mariners are really good about playing platoon matchups throughout the game, and they'll stack left. They'll stack, probably actually five of their first six hitters, because you'll get Lind around the sixth spot. Five of their first six hitters are going to be lefties, and that could give Pineda problems. So at $7,700 on DraftKings, I'm willing to take the risk because, like I said, his K numbers are much better than anyone else in that tier, and it's really not even close. Other guys in the Pineda salary tier on DraftKings, Mike Folti at $6,900, no thanks. Jameson Taillon, maybe, but he's $9,100, so it's not like they're in the same exact tier, and he's facing Houston. That's not something I can get too excited about. A little lower, you get Blake Snell, but he's facing the Red Sox. I mean, go down to Dylan Bundy. Bundy's interesting, I think, at $6,600, though he's up against Strasburg in a bad park. So a lot of the other guys sitting in and around Pineda's price don't have anywhere near, I would say, the upside of Pineda. But there's for sure downside. The team he has to face is good. That doesn't excite you. He's not necessarily really a favorite going in. So Pineda definitely has question marks. Another guy that I find to be somewhat interesting on DraftKings is Chad Bettis. It's always hard to evaluate Coors pitchers because, one, they have to pitch presumably half their games in a great hitter's park. And I don't know if it's been totally sussed out about what effect that park has on both. Well, it definitely has a negative effect on your overall numbers, but I wonder how much sometimes it has an effect on just your approach as a pitcher. I feel like I've seen things written about this before, where a Coors pitcher simply just needs to change their approach because the ball flies out of there at such an alarming degree that you really just can't pitch the same way in Coors that you can pitch in other places. Now, the Rockies have done a good job in the short term of getting pitchers with heavy ground ball rates. You need to do that. They can't sustain as pitchers in Coors for long unless they can find ways to induce ground balls. Bettis is one of those guys. 51% ground ball percentage this year, up from last year. This guy's, this is close to elite ground ball stuff. Really doesn't allow many fly balls at all. Only 26% this season. That's exactly what you need for a Coors pitcher. Now, he's not pitching in Coors today. He's going to Miller Park, which is also a hitter's park. But Bettis is coming really, really cheap on DraftKings. He's in that 5,000 range. The Brewers strike out a ton against righty pitching. That's not Bettis' game. He's more of a, like I said, he's more in there to induce ground balls. He's around 7 Ks per 9. That's just meh. That's average. The big number, though, if you look at it, his ERA is 5.3, but the xFIP is 4. And a 4 xFIP for a guy that is pitching in and around Coors, I really like that number. And I like the ballpark move for him here. I love the price on him, considering how cheap he is. Getting Bettis in there allows you to load up on really just about any other bat you want. If you roster him with either Lester or Price, you have a lot of money to move around when it comes to the bats. And there are some interesting bats today. You know, we're going to need to really hone in our bats on a couple different teams too, because there's just a lot of good to average to above average pitchers going. And whenever that happens, the decisions on the offenses get a little bit closer, just because those expected run lines for teams are just low across the board. You got Strasburg, you got Lester, you got Price, you got Carrasco, you know, Bundy, Pineda. There's a lot of just good pitchers, and that's just not matchups you really want to roster against. So anyway, I like Bettis. Like I said, the Brewers are a team that strikes out 25% of the time against righties. They rank in the bottom third of the league in team WOBA, and that's non-park adjusted. They play in a good park, so they're just not a very good offense in general. They're going to throw some righties up at the top of the lineup who can strike out. So I don't know. I think you can take a risk on Bettis today. It's sort of a new era of Coors pitcher, where in the past we just didn't want to touch these guys really almost in any situation, but they're starting to put together a team of guys that you can really look at, and their price gets depressed so much because they have to pitch half their games in the equivalent of the moon with its gravity pull. So I don't know. I like Bettis here. I think you can take a risk on him for the price. All right, let me roll through a couple of different offensive options that we can get on today. I'll go through a couple positions here and then maybe some teams. You know, like I said a couple seconds ago, the overall run lines today are pretty low. The highest on the board coming in, I believe, it's the Diamondbacks, right a little bit north of 5.2 runs. Then there's a drop off to the Cubs, or they're a little south of 5, which makes sense. They have the big park downgrade for them. You know, a 4.87 run line, implied run line, and Petco is really just about as high as you'll see from any team. It's still low considering how expensive the Cubs are coming out of Coors. So it's hard to get totally excited. It's really just actually hard to get excited about much on the offensive side of the ball here today, just because, like I said, there's just a bunch of good pitchers going. That being said, we can grab some stuff out of this today. A catcher, really the guy that you're going to see mostly as chalk on FanDuel, according, as long as he's playing, is Gary Sanchez. You know, he's a real prospect. He's been hanging around the Yankees farm. I feel like this guy's been in the Yankee farm system forever. Just by the look of things, he has. You know, so he's been there since, he's been toiling around in the minors since around 2010. This guy's a real prospect, and he's now finally come up now that the Yankees have jettisoned off a lot of just dead weight, A-Rod, and other guys. They're giving more play to the young players. This is the right move for them. And they've taken Sanchez and put him into the third spot in the lineup, and he's been awesome, right? So 66 at bats so far, 66 plate appearances so far. He already has 6 home runs. That kind of power is not going to maintain, but it does speak to the guy. The guy does have power, and he's displayed power in the minors before. 6 home runs and 66 at bats, hitting third in the lineup. You $2,900 on FanDuel. They simply have not adjusted his price for a catcher hitting in that spot with his sort of makeup. He's been chalk across the board the last couple days. That's going to continue. So I really wouldn't on FanDuel go too far out of him. You know, DraftKings has gotten wise, as you know, this isn't new, right? This is what happens with these two sites. FanDuel is just typically slower on price correcting than DraftKings is, whether it's willingly, whether it's just because they can't catch up as quick with the algorithm. I'm not totally positive, but Sanchez is $4,300 on DraftKings. That's getting a little close to the breaking point, I think, on him, but I think you can still probably consider him because they just can't. It's really hard to get catchers that hit this high, you know, within the top 3 or 4 slots in the lineup. You're just not going to see that often. And a lot of the other catchers just don't have matchups that I can get excited about. You know, Wellington Castillo is in a good park, but he's bad against righties. It's not totally clear if he'll be in the lineup today. Wilson Ramos has to face Dylan Bundy, who has somewhat of a live arm. So I'm just not enamored with the other catching prospects today. Sanchez, like I said, on FanDuel is far and away the play. I don't really see how you get away from him in cash games. At first base, you know, you have the Cubs facing Edwin Jackson. Edwin Jackson is a total stain. He stinks. He's sort of one of these guys that's brought in off the trash heap to just get out there and pitch innings for the Padres, who have really no intention. And even if they did have an intention, they have no way to really win at this point. They're just a very, very bad team. And Jackson really exemplifies this, right? He's less than 6 per 9, walks more than 4, xFIP in the mid-5s. These are just horrendous, horrendous numbers. They are numbers that really don't strike me as a major league pitcher. It doesn't seem like they strike anybody as a major league pitcher. The Cubs are in a great spot. I just don't like the ballpark is the only problem here. But I think you can probably roster Rizzo at 4,200 on FanDuel. You can also think about Goldschmidt. I know he gets the righty-righty matchup, but like I said, the Diamondbacks are in a spot today to put up the most runs going in. I mean, that's how Vegas sees it playing out. Our system sees it playing out that way too. And, you know, sort of the theme is going to be, as we get down towards some of these other options, it's just difficult to roster, you know, a Chris Davis against Strasburg. You really can't do that for any kind of safety. I guess you can think about Freddie Freeman here against Godley. The run line on the Braves wasn't as high as I thought it would be going in, though it has ticked up a little since open. I could see Freeman being at 3,900 being, you know, maybe a little bit more popular play. But, you know, Freeman at 3,900 or Rizzo at 4,200 against Edwin Jackson, to me it's really not that close. Rizzo's clearly the better talent, and on the much better team. And that the team part is what really drives it also, just because Rizzo just stands to see more at-bats across the board. Over at second base, you know, today's tough. It's hard to get excited about a lot of stuff here. At second, I can think about going Robinson Cano against Pineda, but like I said, Pineda's got that strikeout stuff. For Cano, you're really looking at it, you know, can you play Cano at 3,400 on FanDuel? That's a really cheap price for a guy like him. And I know there's some times where I don't want to roster a player against a really good pitcher, but today you might just not be able to get around it in terms of savings, or in terms of just at some point pedigree for hitting trumps pedigree for pitching, especially when we're looking at weighted mean averages for projections. Cano might be the case for that today if you're not able to grab a cheaper bat across, you know, or in some other spots. We got Scooter facing Bettis. He's coming a little cheaper if he were to hit maybe, you know, second in the order today against the righty. I could think about it. Josh Harrison hitting leadoff is interesting for the Pirates if he sticks there against Doug Fister, who, you know, Fister's another one of these guys that's, I would call him, maybe he's not in the Edwin Jackson territory for me because he's just not that bad. But he's also just not a guy that I really worry about in terms of shutting the other team down. He doesn't strike anybody out. He walks a bunch of guys. He's a run. His xFIP is a run higher than his 3.7 ERA. So he's gotten pretty lucky this year, especially on BABIP. You know, he's a heavy ground ball guy, so the BABIP will always be a little bit lower, just because it's easier to get outs like that through putting the ball on the ground. But you know, I don't know. I'm just not really worried about Fister here. At third base, it's all about Jake Lamb for me. We've talked before on here, you know, with Austin and with James about how just the Diamondbacks have really struggled to understand how to put together a major league batting lineup, but they're starting to get a little wiser now with having Lamb, thankfully, starting to hit more cleanup when a right is on the mound. I contend that he should still probably hit second in the lineup, but, you know, they're never going to get that wise. They're going to keep trotting out like the Michael Bournes of the world in that spot because he's fast or whatever, and that's like an old school way of thinking about baseball. But as long as Lamb can get into the cleanup spot here behind Goldschmidt against Folty, then I think that he's probably the chalk play on FanDuel. It's a little close if you want to consider Chris Bryant for a lot of the same reasons we rostered Rizzo, but it's really, for me, basically on FanDuel at least, it's all Bryant or Lamb. And it's probably Lamb for me too on DraftKings. He's 4,300. The ballpark's great, really boosts Chase Field, boosts power across the board. Lamb's a solid hitter, especially against righties. You're getting a savings on him compared to a lot of the other third basemen on the board. He's, you know, I have him points per dollar basically right in line, or a little tick higher than Chris Bryant. You know, Lamb gets dinged a little bit because his team overall is not that good, but he's a guy that I probably, for the price, will just probably roll in there. And finally, let's just finish it off with outfield as we try to get out of here for the day. A couple guys that I'm looking at here. I think Bryce Harper is still on the board. If you were able to stay the course with us on Bryce Harper, and I hope you were, it's been paying off like gangbusters lately. He has, I mean, turned it around. There wasn't like a ton to turn around. This is what happens with baseball over the course of a season. Guys just go through, they go through slumps. He might have been playing with a little bit of an injury, but over his last week and a half, This guy's been great. He's gone yard a couple times, so the power seems like it's, quote, back. He's been getting on base a ton. He's stealing bases. He's really just become, or he's just come back to the fantasy guy that was the MVP last year. He is that guy again. We kind of went through a stretch of time where, at this outfit, we were answering a lot of questions on why Bryce Harper? And we said, you have to stay the course with these guys. And now, hopefully if you bought during this low period, you've been cashing, because Harper is just simply mispriced on FanDuel. 4,000 still. It's still a lock and load play for me. Again, I know Dylan Bundy's fine, but it's a great hitter's park. And this is Bryce Harper. 4,000 on FanDuel is a no-brainer for me. Carlos Gonzalez coming in, it's hard to, again, take. Sometimes it's hard to take these Rocky guys away from Coors, but 3,700 against Jimmy Nelson, if he's in the middle of the lineup today. If he's in the lineup, which he should be, he's a great play as well. Great. I don't mind Polanco at 3,200 against Pfister. There's some interesting upper-tier bats today, especially on FanDuel, where the pricing... Harper's about the most expensive guy that I see in terms of points per dollar plays and raw points. So you're going to be able to, if you get some savings at some of the position areas, the infield areas, you're going to be able to, I think, load up some in the outfield. And then, like always, we're always waiting for lineups to come in throughout the day to see if we can get one of those cheap guys rising to the top. Today, I don't see as much of that happening necessarily, because a lot of the teams that are going today are pretty consistent with the lineups that they toss out. The teams like the Cardinals, who switch things up a lot, aren't really rolling in this one. A lot of the teams that we have today are teams that they kind of know what their plan is with their batting lineups. And so, short of a big guy sitting, where we have players projected in terms of their batting lineup, probably sticks. Over on DraftKings, if you get Gerardo Parra, he's back for the Rockies. He's coming really cheap if they can get him around the middle of the order. I know they hit David Dahl leadoff the other day. I'm not positive that happens again with the Rockies, so we'll have to check lineups as they come in. And then, we have the Seth Smiths of the world and Jason Hayward's coming cheap on DraftKings, 2,800, 3,000. I know that those names may not jump out and excite you, but these are just fine enough hitters to coming very, very cheap on DraftKings. And that's something that you might need if you're going to spend up, especially if you're going to spend up double expensive at pitcher. All right. I've hopefully giving you whispered you sweet baseball nothings over the course of this last half hour. I'll be back again tomorrow with James Davis, so you'll get a little bit of banter rather than my nasally baseball drone going on for 30 minutes talking baseball. Like I said, please go over to the site, dfsr.com. Check out our baseball projections, obviously. Also, check out all the cool stuff we have going on for NFL. We're going in a full NFL blitz here for the next couple weeks as we get started for that season. And I will put up the link to the NFL podcast, which we hope to have our first episode of tomorrow. Going up, so much to discuss with the NFL injury changes and projections that we have for some early season guys. Really, really cool stuff going over there. And then check out our new player lab that's going to allow you to really just filter through all the relevant pieces of info you're going to need to make NFL lineups. Get used to using that before the season, because once we get into NFL, that's where DFS's bread is buttered, is NFL. So DFSR.com, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, free 3-day trial to our projection system. It's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And I will check you guys out tomorrow.